It's just an honor to be here. Cassandra was telling me that I came in 2010 and gave a motherhood conference here. Is anybody here for that? Mm-hmm. Okay, some of us were here. And then I came back in 2013 for an Inspire conference. Was anybody here for that?
That was the one I was at, not 2010.
Okay, for an Inspire conference. Yeah, so I've been here a couple of times, so it's great to be back. I always think of this church as a little church in the woods. That's the impression, like, for me as the little church in the woods. I remember the first time I came here, I was like, this is the most beautiful little place. So I told Steve, I cannot wait for you to see this place because it's just so beautiful here. So it is just an honor to be here. I think, as you guys know now, my oldest will be 30 in August. So been mothering for 30 years. So it's a long time, a lot of ups and downs and tears and joys and lessons and mistakes. It's been a good journey. But when I was thinking about this time, I was thinking if I had one time to talk to you and I was going to get on the plane tomorrow and drive or fly home, what would I want to make sure that I said to you? If I just had to whittle it down to just, this is what I want to say. And I was thinking about that and thinking, what's the message that I want to make sure? So that's kind of what I want to share today, is just these few things, these perspectives, I call it perspectives, these five perspectives that have just really marked my life, and I want you to think about them for your own life. But let's just take a minute here and let's just pray. Maybe a couple of you guys could pray. That'd be good, just to express faith. Maybe two of you want to pray? Anybody? Uh-huh. Okay, you're one, and second?
I can pray.
Okay, thanks. Go ahead, Rachel.
Dear Lord, thank you so much that we could be gathered today. Thank you so much for blessing us with our children, that we can be mothers. And I just pray you could give us open hearts to hear the wisdom that Kathleen has to offer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Lord, we just present ourselves to you. Mm-hmm. We're so grateful for just the opportunity to know truth and to know your perspective, mm-hmm. and that you are waiting for us to come and look to you for our answers, Lord. We ask that you would just speak through Kathleen, and I also pray that our hearts would be open and teachable this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay, first blank, perspective matters. That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about five different perspectives, and these different perspectives, for me, have really shaped my heart and what God has done in my life. So these are going to be kind of like issues of your heart, how your heart feels about it, how you think about motherhood, those type of things. So I'm sure you're going to have to go home and do some work here. We're going to talk about that at the end. But this is just kind of big picture. Our overarching theme is perspective matters. You might think that I'm going to give you a couple of foundational truths about motherhood, which I am, but I'm actually not going to start in motherhood, okay? I think there's something that we have to process before even we get to motherhood part, and that is the wifehood part. Okay, we got to talk about the wifehood part. So perspective one, first perspective that I think profoundly impacts our mothering is this: how you view your relationship with your husband matters. How you view your relationship with your husband. Our relationship with our husband deeply impacts our motherhood. And I've realized over the years just how true that is. Motherhood and wifehood are very intricately intertwined. And there is no kind of separating them. There are not these two worlds. They impact each other. And my relationship with Steve has had a profound impact on my own heart and also on my kids' hearts, even as they have watched our relationship play out. It has a huge impact on your children. And so I love this verse. Let me see if I can get going where I'm supposed to be. How you review your relationship with your husband matters. And here is the verse. The verse is Philippians 2:2. Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. And this is obviously not a parent or a marriage verse. This is actually written in the context of the church. The church is supposed to feel this way toward one another, which is quite profound. That in your church body, these are the words that would describe your relationship in the church, that you would be like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. And I got to thinking about, if it's for the church, then how much more so in my relationship with my husband? How much more so would this describe my heart toward my husband? We're supposed to have the same love toward one another. And I really spent some time a couple of years ago just thinking about this. I just had some extended time. I had a season in my life where I was home and we were just kind of in a simpler simpler schedule, and I just got to really praying about this verse and thinking about my marriage. And I really asked the Lord, I said, God, I just want you to redefine anything in my marriage that you want to redefine, that you want to me to go deeper and you want me to understand and walk in a deeper way. I want to experience the marriage that you have for me, not the marriage that Steve and I have just created, okay? At the end of this summer, we're getting ready to celebrate 33 years of marriage. So we're wrapping up a year, another year, and we'll be 33 years in August. And I look back and I just think how God really has answered that prayer. He really has taken my heart, I believe, at a different level in my relationship with my husband. But I was thinking about this question. What is God's picture of a Christian marriage? And as I was thinking and processing through all this, I spent some time looking at just some different pictures. And I was just thinking, it's a kind of a weird thing I like to do, but I like to go find a picture that represents what I'm thinking about at a heart level. So I'll like go on Google and I'll like be thinking and trying to find a picture. And so this first picture I found, and this was a question I was kind of asking myself and praying about, is this God's picture of a Christian marriage? And I thought, well, this is a pretty good picture of a Christian marriage. They're going down the same tracks. They're parallel. They're going in the same direction. They're close. They're even close enough to hold hands. But in my heart, I was just kind of like, I'm just not sure. This is what God had. And I just kept looking about this and thinking about this. And I was thinking about kind of these tracks and running along. And even in American Christianity, this was kind of what I saw growing up in the church. This is what I saw around me. This was the image of a Christian marriage. But I just kept feeling like God had something different, something more than that, especially when I was thinking about those words in that verse. What does it mean to be like-minded with Steve? What does it mean to have the same love? What does it mean to truly be one in spirit and purpose with him? And one of the biggest obstacles, I think, was that I had to kind of reconcile that actually it was possible to be like-minded with Steve. And it actually was possible to live out that verse in my marriage, because it seems crazy that you and I as sisters in Christ should have that same oneness. But I had to like really kind of come to a point where, okay, this is possible to live out this verse. And I could see this all kind of playing out in my marriage, but it was impacting my motherhood as well. I kept just thinking, okay, there's something more here. I was just praying about this. And I actually went back and looked at more pictures, and I came up with, once I was thinking about this verse and thinking about the different phrases in this verse, and I came up with this picture. And I just felt like this one was the description of that verse. To be truly like-minded, to not just run parallel with my husband in purpose, and to not run parallel with him in love, but literally to become one, to be one in spirit. It meant the joining of our tracks, that we didn't have two tracks, we had one. It meant that we had the same agenda. We had the same heart, the same vision. And I actually printed this off of Google. I just printed it on my printer, and I went to the Dollar Tree and got, back then they cost $1. Now it's $1. $1 picture frame. And if you go in my bedroom, and if you walk out, if you turn around and you're walking back out of my bedroom, right on the door there, right next to the door, is this picture in a Dollar Tree frame. And this has meant so much to me just to move my heart toward this. This is what God's desire is. This is where there is a blessing. Not two tracks, to become one. I think it can be really easy in parenting to have two different agendas or priority lists than our husband even. And we can both have good lists or good priorities, honorable, both God-fearing. But I really felt like what God was calling me to was, I felt like he was saying, I want you to have the same track. Only one track, Kath. I only want one track in your guys' marriage. And I want you to be on track with Steve, right on track with him, on his track, right on him. Not running parallel, but becoming one. And I think about the verse in Proverbs 31 where it says, she brings good to her husband all the days of her life, right? This is the good. I think this is the good where we align ourselves and we bring our hearts in and we connect with our husbands. And I think one of the things I think for us gals is we have to realize our ways aren't right. Our list isn't better than our husband's. They're just kind of different lists. And there's even a better fruit in joining and having the same list and having the same priorities than in trying to run two good priorities. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And so I just felt like, wow, this was a huge shift for me. It was a huge shift for me in my heart because it just moved me toward my husband. It moved my heart towards Steve to really be united with him. And I can look back and just see the fruit of that. I'm pretty sure that no one looking can see any difference at all. But I can really see the fruit of that in my own life and in my marriage and in my children even. Ask yourself, how do I view my marriage with my husband? Ask yourself, am I one with him in spirit, in purpose? Do I have the same love as him? These things, how do you view that? And that's a process that you're going to have to kind of go home and figure out. Where am I at on this? How do I view that? Okay, so that's our first perspective. Okay, second perspective is how you view your life as a mother matters. Okay, that really matters how you view your life. And I remember this picture, if you can see this picture, I'm the girl there in the pink stripes with the dark hair, and that's Stephen right there, and this is when we would have had all eight. And I'm looking at that picture, and I think the baby maybe wasn't even one yet. So I think this would have been 15 years ago. So 15 years ago, my oldest would have been 15. And so that means that this is about 15 years ago. We had eight kids. There were some very crazy seasons in here. There were some hard times. There were tears. I remember feeling like this was way beyond me. I was not able to do it. I'm not equipped to do what God has called me here to. And God met me in that. You know, it didn't take eight kids to feel that way. I felt that way long before eight kids. I felt that inadequacy and how much I needed to lean into the Lord. Stephen said I never, what did Stephen say today? That was a little outrageous. What did he say?
You never wanted a break.
Thank you. Okay, all right. Now that we're together, okay. So, okay. Bear with him, okay? He's trying, all right? But, okay. Obviously, I was at the end of my rope a lot. Obviously, I was in tears, right? And I felt like I could not manage all these souls in these relationships. I did not want to leave my family or abandon my family or be done with my family or want a different life. All those statements would be true. Did I feel very, very spent? Yes. I do remember. I'll tell you the story. This is, you guys have to not tell on me and say to Kat, when Steve comes in here and says you're done, everybody say, no, just a minute, okay? But I remember one time I was really, really tired and I was really spent and I said to Steve, I cannot do this. I just cannot do this. And we got into a fight and Steve said, okay. He said, I'll do it. He goes, I'll just do it all. I'm like, okay, fine. So I went up to my bedroom and I'm like, fine. He wants to do it all. He can just do it all. And, you know, about 1 hour later, I came down and I'm like, how's it going? You know, basically, and, you know, it's just this part where I think it was this kind of moment crossroads in both of our lives where I think I didn't want to leave and I didn't want to do anything different, but I was really, really spent. But he was also saying, if you can't come along inside this and do this, I'm going to raise these eight kids alone, which I'm like, you can't do that. You need me. You know? But anyway, maybe he didn't represent all that. You didn't write that down when he said that. Okay, good. Okay, good. This is how it feels, though. Okay, I went and looked for pictures. This is how it feels to be a mom. I felt like my life was just being poured out. It was being poured into a sea of water that nobody was able to capture and nobody was able to define. Do you guys feel that way? Can feel that way, can't it? Just like it's just being poured out. And I remember just feeling like I don't even know who I am anymore. I remembered who I was before I was married and had children and the things I liked and the things that interested me, but that had all just slipped away over the years. And at times I felt very lonely and very overwhelmed with all these feelings. And God was again so faithful to come alongside me gently and start working on this area. And me just recognizing that this picture is not God's view of my life. This is not an accurate biblical picture, that I had to find a different picture. Okay? So even though it felt that way, it wasn't accurate. So I went looking for another picture, and I found this picture. And I was searching for this picture. I'm going to cry, but I was searching for this picture that just grabbed what it felt like to be a mom. And then the hope that I had in that, that God was going to take my life. And as I poured it out, he was going to make something beautiful that I didn't have to preserve. I could literally pour out, trusting that God was going to do something with it. And I just love that picture, because if you said to me, Kath, take water and create something, I am completely incapable of doing that. Mm-hmm. If you said to me, Kath, take 8 kids and raise them and make them warriors for you, I am completely incapable of doing that. But this second picture is an accurate picture of biblical motherhood, that God can take your life, and as you choose to pour it out, he can create something beautiful. I think about in 2 Corinthians 5, it says, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them. This is that pouring out. Christ poured out his life for us. In the same way, we choose. We make a choice to pour out our lives. And our children are our number one disciples. They are who God has entrusted to us. And that's the hope, is that God is creating something. God is doing something in that. And you know what? Honestly, these seasons, this season is gone in my life. I don't feel that as much anymore. That season of just overwhelmed with 8 kids, I don't live in that anymore. Most of my kids are raised. 6 of them are out of the home. Well, depends on how you count, but 6 of them are adults. You get it. So anyway, yeah, a bunch of them are out of the home and they're on their own, and a real peace. I'm just really thankful for that I made those choices. I'm really thankful that God led me to do that. I have no regrets. I'm so thankful that that's how I spent my life. Now I'm in the kind of the fall, the autumn season of my life, and I am very, very thankful of how I did that and how God led me to that. Okay, consider this beautiful verse with me, Luke 9, 23 through 25. Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. There's your warning, moms. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. That's a warning, right? Whoever loses his life for me will save it. There's your promise. Your warning, it's a warning, comma, promise verse. It has both sets in it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit himself? Ask yourself, is this my view of motherhood? Do I have a biblical view of my life being spent? Am I willing to do that? Is that my heart? Ask yourself those questions. Spend some time in that. Spend some time. And if this is like an area where you're like, I really need to rethink this, put a check by this one and think about this perspective. Am I willing to trust God? Because that pouring out your life, whoa. Because that pouring out your life takes faith, doesn't it? It takes so much faith and courage. Courage to be able to do that and to trust God with that. Okay, third perspective. How you view what motherhood is matters. So it's just not how you view your life that matters, but how you view the whole journey of motherhood. And we're going around and we're looking at other women and we're thinking about these things and we're getting a picture in our head of what motherhood is. And I went and found a few pictures, okay? The first one is very common. How do you view motherhood? Look at this picture, okay? People see motherhood this way all the time. It's just a frustrating experience. You're overwhelmed. You're on the phone. You have so much to do. Look at the kids. They're just partying. And it's mom. Mom's the one. She's crashing and burning. And I think a lot of times we can have this image of motherhood. It can even seep out in our conversation with one another, this picture of just, you know, it's really hard, isn't it? Because we've all been in this spot, right? We know how this woman feels, but is this your picture of motherhood? It's something that we want to escape from, and that's what motherhood is. And I'm like, okay, this is not God's picture. This is just not God's picture. This is the culture's picture, but this is just not God's picture. And this one, this next one, I really see a lot of mothers doing. This one is where she's just juggling, okay? She's juggling her baby. Look, her baby's on one hand, Okay, but she's got many things that she's juggling. All these other interests are going on. She's a juggling act. She has to cook. She needs to exercise. She needs to buy things on Amazon. She needs to talk on her cell phone. She needs to read the latest novel. All of these things. And the baby is just something that she's juggling along the way. And motherhood is not this. This is not God's picture of motherhood. She kind of does have her eye on the baby. I remember when I first found this picture was years ago, and my sons were younger than them. They're like, can we, like, put a top on her? I felt like that was pretty scandy, but anyway, okay. And so I'm like, okay, God, this is not your picture of motherhood. This is the world's picture of motherhood, but this is not God's picture. Okay, so what is God's picture? It's also not this. It's not just a picnic, right? It's not just every day of making every day. And I see moms try to do this with all their heart, just to make every day fun. Just every day. If we can go to the zoo, then we're going to go to a play date, then we're going to go to the bounce house, then we're going to go to a friend's, and every day has to be fun. And in this, we're going to talk about this, but there's no room for good training, for even some of the stuff that Stephen just talked about in the last session of making a rigorous schedule, of making their education an area of character building. If this is your view of motherhood where I owe my kids a picnic every day, you're going to miss out on some bigger pictures of what motherhood is, because it's just not this. Is there room for this? Of course. Did we want to bring this to our kids? Of course. But this is not the picture. This is not what's on God's heart. And I see a lot of even women in my local church. This is what they're trying to do. Man, if the zoo was open 24/7, the zoo would be paid by, you know, be totally supported by young moms. Young moms just trying to get away from the scene. Okay? Okay, so what is it? It's this. Okay? It's this picture. This picture. We know in Psalms 127 it says that children are a reward. Okay? This is on the front of my motherhood book, this picture. This picture was actually drawn. I actually had to do quite a bit of research to find it, but it was actually drawn by this gentleman, and it was on a advertisement campaign for a pro-life clinic in Tennessee. And I finally found it all the way down, and I asked for permission, and they said yes. And she wrote me the most beautiful letter when she gave me permission on this. But I just love this picture. This is God's heart for motherhood. Okay, he's got his hands around us, and we're shaping lives. Okay, it's in the hands of a potter, and those hands are on the clay. And God has called us to shape life. He's called us to pour out our life and to lose our life like he did in order to shape other lives. And there's beautiful meaning in that. That's the way of Christ. That's the picture of motherhood. Okay? This verse is in Jeremiah 18. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. And in the same way that God asks us and calls us to join him in the shaping of another life, shaping the next generation of believers. And this is a beautiful opportunity that will bring a blessing on your life too. Not just the shaping of your kids, but for your own life to be involved in this work. So motherhood is not a frustration. It's not a juggling act. It's not a picnic. It's the amazing work of shaping a life. And to be able to raise up, you know, it talks about in the scriptures, the training and instruction of the Lord. Okay, if you go back to that picture, this is what we're doing. We're raising them up. We're giving them the training and the instruction. We're managing their heart. We're bringing them before the Lord. We're saturating their environment, like Steve talked about. The whole little greenhouse. In the little greenhouse is the little mommy with the little babies, loving her little children, raising them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. That is a beautiful expression of a life lived for the Lord. Just right there. We don't have to go out as women and do other amazing things. You know, there's all kinds of social issues that we can get all wrapped up in. There's all kinds of gender stuff. I mean, there's so many things, right? Where's my phone? My phone's right there. I could pick up my phone and just boom, 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 things that break our hearts, right? Mm-hmm. And we can just be pulled into that. But this, not that. Not that. That's for others to do. But God has entrusted lives to us. He's given us to be that mom in our homes, in our four walls, loving our babies, living life for them, to give them that little green house. You know, it says in the widows, in 1 Timothy, it says, younger widows, it says, go marry and manage your homes. Have children and manage your homes. And it says in Titus, to be busy in your home. We're called to that, gals. That is biblical womanhood. We are called to be in our homes, loving our children, laying down our lives, and being given to this. Okay, so what a beautiful picture that is. Ask yourself, is this my picture of motherhood? Okay, is this my picture? Is this how I view it? Do I view motherhood this way? Ask yourself that. In this perspective, where do I land in this perspective?
I gotta find a Kleenex.
Do I have a Kleenex? Should go get me one? Thank you. Bless her heart. Okay. Next one. How you view your relationship with God matters. Okay. Where is God at in all this? Okay. And I often think about when the Lord really walked me through this. And he encouraged me, Kathy, you have to start with your own heart. And Steve talked about starting with our own heart. You have to start in your own life. This is where it has to begin, between you and me. Okay. This does not begin between me and my children. And this does not even begin between me and Stephen. This begins between me and the Lord. What has God called me to? What is he asking me? You have to be deep with me. The Lord is calling me. You have to be clinging to me, refreshing your mind and your heart and your thought life and what's true. And I realized very early on with these kids that I cannot walk and do what God's called me to without intimately and walking deeply and humbly with the Lord. Okay, we know in Micah 6:8, it says, he has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your Lord. The Lord calls you to walk humbly with him. It has to begin there. Okay, let's look at another verse. It's in Ezekiel 3. Ezekiel is called to go and basically talk to these rebellious people. Okay. The house of Israel is going to be rebellious, obstinate people. And God calls Ezekiel to go. And this is the instruction he gives him. He says, son of man, let all my words sink deep into your own heart first. Listen to them carefully for yourself. Then go to your children. Oh, it doesn't say children, does it? It says people. But for us, it says children. Okay. Let God's work sink deeply into your own heart first. Listen carefully to the Lord. Then go and impart this on your children. There is order there, and that order there is a beautiful thing. It transforms your life as you're laying down your life for others. And then just being able to pour out. So you have to position yourself before the Lord. Position your heart, not just your body for a few minutes, but really your heart before the Lord. So a biblical woman is a woman that God calls into this. She's positioning her heart before God and letting his words sink deep into her heart. And this is what happens, okay? God starts changing us. And when we look in the mirror, we see something different. But it's not on the outside. It's something that God is doing on the inside. He's shaping our hearts as we humbly walk with him. And we're changing over the years. It can choke me what God has done in my life over the last 30 years. I mean, just story after story after story after story after story of God meeting me and helping me and breaking me and comforting me and strengthening me and giving me hope. And I feel like at some level, this has totally happened in my life, that God has changed the inside. Even though the outside is fading, the inside is being renewed. Just like it talks about in scripture, the inside is being renewed. And it's just through this process of just going before the Lord. These next two verses, this is a gal just bringing your heart, positioning your heart before the Lord. That's what we have to do as moms. First for ourselves, then bring it to your children, okay? These next two verses, they go back to back. 1 Timothy 4:15. Stephen, I think, read up to this point. I think in his last talk, he read up to 4:14. It says, then this is the next one. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them that everyone may see your progress. Circle the word progress. There is your hope. You know, Stephen talked about, where it talks about in 2 Peter, it says, make every effort to add to your faith, goodness, and the goodness, knowledge. For if you possess these things in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus. This is a verse just like that. In increasing measure, Steve talked about progress here, that everyone may see your progress. And our kids, what a beautiful thing to be giving to our kids, that they see that mom is changing, that she's softening as she gets older. Wow, what a beautiful thing for our kids to see that, that mom is softening as she gets older, that there is a work going on. And anyway, so a woman who walks with the Lord, we have an opportunity to be an example of this to our children. The next verse is equally as powerful. Watch your, circle the word, your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. And I'm not sure on that last part. You will save both yourself and your hearers. All I know is it sounds good, right? Sounds like a promise. I'm not sure exactly what it means. I'm not sure. I don't get that. I've kind of read the commentaries on that. But anyway, all I know is, Kath, watch your life, Kathleen, very carefully, your doctrine very carefully. Kath, persevere in them, and I will do something. I can at least read that, right? Is that too much of a stretch? I will do something in that. This is what I call you to, and I will do something. Okay, so just very dear words to me, very encouraging to me. Okay, so far we've talked about how we view our relationship with our husbands. We've talked about how we view motherhood. Okay, and that we have to start with ourselves. We've talked about that. There's a verse, Proverbs, is this on your sheet, Proverbs 31:26? Okay, she speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Okay, that's out of Proverbs 31. And that's what we're called to as moms. It's what mothering is that we should be giving our days to. There should be faithful instruction on my tongue in my home. Yes, I'm getting my laundry done. Yes, I'm getting a meal cooked. Yes, I'm answering the phone. But the important part of today, the most important part, is that I am in relationship with God, with Steve, and with my kids. That's the most important thing that's going on every day. There are other things that need to get done in my home. But that I'm in relationship in this order is so important. It's so important. And I like to think of it as, I think of motherhood as, it's the ministry of being present and available. Okay? That's what I call my motherhood. My motherhood is the ministry of being present and available. And honestly, as the kids started clearing out of the home, it's like I almost had to learn how to kind of, you guys are going to laugh, but I had to learn how to work again. Because I was so busy being in relationship and managing them working that it was like, oh, wait, there's no one here to do all this. I guess I need to do all this. And so there was just a shift. But I wasn't being lazy. It was just they were involved in that. And I was in relationship and managing and helping them with it. And so there was just a shift of like, who's going to do the dishes? All the kids are gone, you know. And actually, you're going to do the dishes, Kath. So it's kind of this interesting thing. So ask yourself. So ask yourself just in this perspective. What's the name of this one? It's how you view your relationship with the Lord. Okay? That so matters. Ask yourself. Are you going before the Lord? Is God changing you? Do you sense that God has changed you in the last year? Have you experienced God in the last year? If I sat with you at lunch and I said, what has the Lord taught you in the last 6 months? I might do that. Could you answer me? Could you tell me what God has taught you? That's a beautiful thing, right? And I don't want to discourage you. I actually want to encourage you. God is at work. God is changing you. Maybe if I said at lunch, maybe you wouldn't come up with the answer. But if I said, hey, I'll meet you tomorrow morning for coffee, and you tell me what God has done in your life, all of you guys could come up with what God's done. All of you guys could, because you're in relationship with the Lord, right? I encourage you, just press into that. Keep into that. This is the beautiful thing. He's transforming you as you're transforming other lives. Okay, the last perspective, how you view your role as a mother matters. Okay, I love this verse. It calls me to have faithful instruction on my tongue. And this next verse is in Proverbs 31. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Oh, I might have those backwards. Hold on. Let me see this one. Okay, sorry. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Is that the next one?
Yeah.
Okay. So this last verse is something that is sacred. And what I want you to do there is circle your mother's teaching. Okay? What I glean from this verse is that I'm supposed to be teaching my children something that is sacred, that is guarding their heart, that brings them life, that is for their future. Okay? The Lord calls them, what does the Lord call them to do here? In this verse, what does the Lord call the kids to do?
Listen.
Listen and?
Not forsake.
Do not forsake what I teach you. Okay, so the Lord calls my children to not forsake what I have taught them. But for me to understand, I need to be teaching them something that is sacred. Okay, this is not about pick up your room. This is not about eating your vegetables. This is not about whether you should exercise. This is about the sacred teachings of a mother. That is what we're given to. That's what we're supposed to be given to. If your kids are going to struggle, you want your voice to haunt them, don't you? You want your voice and what you and your husband bring to that kid, you want it to just make them doggone miserable. Pray that with me, will you? And just think about that, okay? Think, if your kids walk away, you want your voice to haunt them. You want the scripture. Just never leave them alone. Just push, 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 push until they cannot just deny the Lord and they come back. Okay? That's what we're up to. That's what we're up against. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your heart. They have to be upon your heart in order for you to impart them to your children. They have to be on your heart. Are his commandments on your heart? And then from that, we're able to flow and give that to our children. Then from that comes the second part of the verse. The linking, you know, there's no such thing as a link. There's such a thing as a linking verb. I know. I don't know what they are, but there's such a thing as a linking verb, okay? So, but this sentence here, these commandments that I give you today are between your heart. That is your link between this set of verses and the next set, okay? Here's the top set, here's the second set, and here's your linking sentence. We'll just call it, I know, there's no such thing, but we'll just call it that, okay? These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. This is the link into the next set. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. So that linking part there is where we have to start, is that they're on our hearts, okay? Okay, this is God's design. These are a mother's sacred teaching that are to be imprinted on a child's heart, and God has given us that calling that we walk into. But before we walk into this, before we do the ask yourself, I want to talk a little bit about, I'm adding this. I added this last night, late last night. I'm adding three more points. Kelsey. Okay. Three critical tips. I'll go through them quickly. Okay. These are three critical tips that I believe of how to change your perspective. Okay. One is, and you're going to already know this, but write it down for my sake. Okay. Number one, cling to the word. Know the word. Cling to it. Treasure the word. Read it. Study it. Memorize it. Master it. Let it master you. Master it and let it master you. Yield to the word. If you don't like a verse, beautiful. Pull it out. Write it down. Go before the Lord. Fight it out with the Lord. Let God, this verse is hard for me. Don't let your experiences define your motherhood or your relationship with your husband or your girlfriend. Go to the Word. What does God's Word call you to? You have to start there. What does God's Word call you to? And just, I'm opening this up with a fresh heart, God. I want you to rewrite all this for me and deal with the Lord on that. Just cling to the Lord. Develop your convictions first from God's Word, not from other people's experience or even your own. Develop your convictions from God's word, okay? Be able to quote them. Be able to say them. I've memorized for years. I still memorize all the time. I memorize in the middle of the night. As I get older, I can't sleep at night, and I have my phone, and I have my verses on my phone, and I wake up in the middle of the night, and I'm just working on my verses, and I'll, like, do you work on my fall asleep? Oh, yeah, that verse, And I'll be working on my verses and fall asleep, and sometimes Steve will roll over in the middle of the night. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, just working on my verses in the middle of the night. And I do that a lot. I almost do that almost every night. And I just, it helps me so much. I can wake up in the morning and I'm tired, but I'm super encouraged because I've just been working on the verses all night long. And it's like I'm just sleeping to the word. And so just do that. You know, you have your phone, you're sleeping with your phone anyway. So just get your verses on your phone and just be meditating on God's word, bringing it in. Then you're able to impart it to your children and it's doing something in your own life. So that's number one, is cling to God's word. Master it and let it master you, both, okay? Number two, follow your husband. One railroad track, we already talked about that. And then I want to go on the last one. Be intentional. Be in intentional relationship with older, godly women in your local church. Be intentional, in intentional relationship with older, godly women in your local church. That is so important. In Titus 2, we see this is God's design to encourage you. Titus 2, it says, then the older women can train the younger women, right? Okay, so the older women is God's design of where you are going to get some of your help. So you're going to get some of your help from the Lord and from the Word. You're going to get some of your help from your husband. And then the third place is not a blog. And it's not Instagram. And it's not TikTok. And it's not Facebook. It's the older women in your church. Get into relationship with them. Be talking to them. Don't interview their kids. Interview them. Tell me and get specific on your questions. You know, tell me what you're thinking. Tell me what you learned when you were in this season. Here's my question for you, Roxanne. I have a question. Okay, I want to get together with you next week for coffee, and I would like you to tell me what you did in this and this situation. These are situations that I'm dealing with in my life, and I would like to get together with you, and can you bring me some thoughts of what you did in this situation in your life? And Roxanne's going to say, yep. And next week she's going to come. It's going to give her a bit to think about it. Because if I ask her on the spot, what's Rox going to say? I don't know. I can't remember. Right? Because she can't. She's not kidding. But she is going to go home and she's going to talk to Charlie and she's going to think about it. And this is the beauty of an older woman. She's going to think about it. She's going to pray about it. She's going to get in the word for you. Right? And then she's going to come meet with you, and she is going to give you sound advice. And not only that, she knows your children, and she knows your husband. So when she sits with you, she has a window into your life that is a true good window, and she loves you. I cannot emphasize that enough. You need to be in relationship with an older woman in your church. And you need to be getting your parenting advice from those older women. Give them a week to think about it. They're going to need, you'll need a week, right? I need a week. Give me a week to think about it. But, you know, give me questions or whatever. I want my local women to do that too. Not because I have all the answers, right? I do not have all the answers. But I do feel like God can use that relationship. That's his design, okay? So there you go. There's my little soapbox that I added. Okay. Ask yourself this question. What do you see as your role as a mom? Are you imparting sacred teachings? Are you imparting sacred teachings to your children? Are you imparting teachings that are going to haunt them? That's a big deal, isn't it? It's a very big deal to be giving this to your kids. Okay, there's always the work of the heart to get these things in order, okay? And you're going to have to go home. You're going to have to pull out this book, write down these perspectives, think about these, figure out where you want to go with the Lord. You know, all of this has been just me wrestling this out before the Lord, wrestling this out before the scripture, trying to get a handle on it. This didn't just come to me. It's not like it just naturally appeared. This is just years of just kind of sorting through what is God's perspective on these things. I think I have, okay, here's some questions I want you to think about, okay? And this is just to get it going when you get home. Are these in your book?
Yes. Okay.
So these are just some questions just to get home. How do you think your relationship with your husband impacts your mothering? Okay. Number two, how do you feel about your life being poured out as a mother? Get some verses on that. There's a whole bunch of verses on that. Take up 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15. That's where you're going to start on that one. And then go cross-reference on that. Cross-reference that those verses, 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. Cross-reference, and when you cross-reference, you're just going to get more verses on that. You're going to look down about the third one. You're going to love, and you're going to be like, oh, I love that verse. You're going to write that down. Cross-reference on that one, right? Then you're going to cross-reference over on that one. Get 5, 10 verses that you love. Memorize them. Tell your older gal, I'm going to meet you with coffee, and I want you to quiz me on these 10 verses. And this is about my perspective as my relationship with my husband, or this is about my perspective in my relationship with God, or whatever. Take one of these perspectives, and you're just going to cross-reference. Just find one, any of these verses that Stephen shared, any of these verses here, just take them. If you like them, cross-reference them, and just start memorizing them. Guaranteed way to change your life. Super simple. Super easy. Just got to have that word, and you got to be humble before the Lord, okay? Last one, what's the one thing you want to trust God to change in your perspective about mothering or wifehood? That's your last question. Okay? All right, before we go to questions, which I cannot believe, I'm done. Woo-hoo! Mr. Nelson. Okay, two things, okay? We have started a podcast, me and three other sisters. So it's Mary Young, Krista Whitney, and Morgan Thatcher. The podcast is called Living Out Biblical Womanhood. I've never listened to a podcast in my life. Boom. But I'm doing one. And it's once a month. I think we have 4 out, and we're rotating between these. I spent some time in the last couple years just thinking about biblical womanhood, just opened up the word literally with a clean piece of paper and just started collecting verses on everything either written about women or directly to women. So none of the general, like Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, that didn't go on there because it wasn't about women and it wasn't written to women. So I took just verses written about women and to women, wrote them all down, and the Lord was like showing me, it's like there are 4 areas of biblical womanhood. And those 4 areas that the scripture either talks about women or to women are wifehood and motherhood, which you would expect, and then good deeds. It's another huge area. It's a big area. Lots of verses about good deeds written specifically about women and to women. And then the last one is inner beauty, character. And there, that's also a huge section of verses. And so we're rotating on specific topics about those 4 areas. But it might be an encouragement. If you're a podcast listener, this might be an encouragement to you. The other one is this. And a couple, I don't know how many years ago, I just decided, this is called Kathleen Nelson Biblical Womanhood, and it's YouTube. And I just decided that I was going to do a whole bunch of videos for my kids so that when I passed, there would be something that they would have that they could look at. And there are about 78 videos on there right now. And they're all kinds of motherhood stuff. It's wifehood stuff. It's relationship with the Lord. It's 5 minutes. Nothing exciting. Same background, same person. Seriously, nothing exciting. But just sharing, and that might be an encouragement to you, okay? And so I just share those just as a resource of something if you want that encouragement. So, any questions about any of that? It's like a fire hose.
I can imagine some things that I have done and said that may be haunting my children. In a negative way.
Yeah, sure.
So a different word that you might use would be what?
Oh. Like other than haunting?
Yes. or a definition for haunting.
Well, just like, you know, there's a scripture that talks about when I get up and when I lie down, your teachings help me. I think there's one... But there's one that talks about, it's in the Psalms, and it talks about basically this idea of your commands. When I lie down, they're on my mind, and when I walk through my day, they're on my mind. I honestly think it's about parenting. I think that verse is specifically about your father's parenting, I think. I can't remember. But that idea of just, you know, Stephen was talking about that too, about his childhood memories and how we don't have a lot of clarity, but we have some childhood memories. So the teachings of a mother, it calls the son, do not forsake that, but the teachings of a mother should be so ingrained and so down deep in their soul that it's really hard to not think the way their father and mother taught them. You can think about that as a good example and a bad example. We met this gal, a young woman, and her upbringing was really, really, really rough. And she basically used that word. She's like, I just cannot get away from what my parents did to me. Mm-hmm. And it just haunts, she used that word, it just haunts me. So it could be bad, right? We know that, but it could be beautiful and good and just be filling to their life. I mean, we've all made mistakes. Sure, there are things I don't want my kids to remember that I've also done as a mother. But those teachings and that love and that relationship and that care and even that repentance and going back and asking for forgiveness, all of that would just never leave them, you know, never leave them. So
I don't know. You could replace it with echoing.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that's a more positive.
That's good.
I personally like haunting just because I'm a little morbid. That's
a good word. Yeah.
The kid goes into life and the parents' voices are echoing through the.
Yeah. Having a voice in their life.
Yeah.
So in the beginning, Kathleen, you were talking about being on the same track as your husband. What would you say to the women whose husbands might not have the same vision or have a vision for parenting well or even leading their families well?
Yeah, that's a good question. And anybody is welcome to give input here. Yeah, I think as much as possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And I would take what my husband can bring and does bring to the table, and I would get completely on track with that as much as I possibly could. I just think that there's a blessing and even our children seeing that and even our children experiencing that oneness. If you think about oneness, you know, you think about in your marriage, what's the picture of oneness that your kids are getting? I mean, that's kind of an interesting question, right? What does oneness look like for them? So when they read the scripture and they're like, God unites a man and a woman, you know, we know in Malachi 2, it says, has not the Lord made them one? In flesh and spirit, they are his. And why one? It tells us why he put us together, why he put Steve and I together. God's heart is revealed in Malachi 2:15. It says, because he was seeking godly offspring. So that is why Steve and I, God united us in flesh and spirit. He was seeking godly offspring out of our home. And so I think then it says, so guard yourself in your spirit and do not break faith with the wife of your youth. So I think we need to guard that oneness and guard that this is God's design and pray in that oneness. And again, maybe you even have thoughts you would want to share on that of just what do you do in that situation? I would say as much as possible, as easy as you can, as much as you can, go one track with that hub. That's what I would say, as much as possible. Get counsel from older women in your church. Talk through that with someone. You know, an older woman in your church, they aren't going to bash your husband. They're going to understand, yep, there's all kinds of husbands, and process that through with them. Just, okay, what does that look like for me? Here's my situation. This is what's going on. I love my hubby. He just doesn't have a heart for whatever. Fair enough. What do? I love him. I want to honor him. You know, we're called to respect him. In Ephesians 5, we're called to respect him and honor him. Those are things that we're called to regardless of whether they're having quiet times, mm-hmm. right? So that's a good question. Does anybody have any thoughts on that one?
I would make sure that I'm communicating with my husband what I'm perceiving.
Mm. Yeah.
Because I can assume that they're not on the same page with me with parenting, but sometimes that's not a right perception. And so you need to hear their heart, be open and honest with how you're feeling and find out what they're really thinking. Are they just busy and so overwhelmed with work that it's challenging, or they feel like they can't ask you to do some things because you've been unwilling in the past to follow through or whatever, but have good communication with your husband.
That's good. I think another thought I have on that is, one thought I've thought about is just thinking about being a godly wife. You know, it's kind of like, the recent analogy, I haven't got a picture yet, but the recent analogy I've been thinking about is singing harmony with somebody. And I don't know how to sing, and I don't know how to sing harmony. Some people in the room know how to sing harmony. And just how in harmony, help me, Christy, but in harmony, you're singing together, and you're singing in the same key. Okay, thank you. But you're singing different notes, right? And in harmony, like when Blaise and Elizabeth, our oldest son and his wife, do music for us, and when they sing, the kids are like, sometimes you can't tell whose voice is who. They're singing so in harmony, And Blaze sounds so much better with Elizabeth. I mean, all the siblings are like, wow. Please don't go have another baby, because he does. It sounds real. They sound really, really good together. But they're bringing something different to this picture. And I think in marriage, harmony is a beautiful picture of that, because you're not doing the same thing. You know, when I'm talking about getting on the same track, that's in, and it says same love, same purpose, same spirit, those things, have, being like-minded. But it's not like we're doing the exact same things, but it's like we're singing harmony. We're in the same key. You can't tell the difference. There's, you know, what Kath is doing and what Steve is doing, it's like, well, it just kind of all blends together into this one melody. Is that the word? Or one, you know, that word.
Song.
Right, song. So does that make sense? I even thought about that, just how women do bring something different. We're called to be helpmates to our husband. We're helping them. And even in raising our children and managing our home, we're under their headship, but they have entrusted a lot of things to us. But may we not walk away from that biblical picture that we are helpmating them in that. Does that make sense? Because I think sometimes it can feel like, as a mom, it can feel like I do the mom thing, he does the garage thing. And we just kind of both, he does the house, I do the kids, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, I kind of, it all blends. It's all good. What's, you know, I think, I like to think about, well, back in the day, I guess now too, still, it's kind of different. But, you know, what's Steve's heart for the kids? What does he really want to emphasize? What does he want to bring to the children? Can I help him bring that to the kids? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Can that be my heart? Because honestly, truth of the matter, if you just gave me one side of the table and Steve the other side of the table, and I didn't know Steve's heart, let's say I didn't know Steve's heart, we would come up with a very different list. That's just the truth. Now, we've been married for 32 years, so now we would come up with... Now we would come up with... We're done, babe. Hold on. Now we would come up with kind of the same list. Does that make sense? So even in helpmating, if you're educating your children in your home, or you're doing something in your home, or you're having the kids be involved in something, make sure you're seeing that as this is part of bringing about an overall vision, a united vision of what we're bringing to our kids. Mm-hmm. Yes, I have this role in that, and yes, he has this role in that, but there's a united vision of what you're bringing to your kids. Mm-hmm. Enough to chew on? You guys got enough, or you need more? You need another round? No. All right.
Thank you.
All right. Well, let me pray real quick, okay? God, I thank you, God, for these women, Lord. What humble, beautiful hearts, God. Just even their nonverbal responses, God, were just so beautiful. God, I pray that you would bless their faith, Lord. Give them courage to receive from you. God, I pray that you would even carve out time this next week. Carve out time for them to get before you, help them to get before you and engage in these five perspectives and to sort through and think through. I pray that you would open up your word, God, that you would give them verses that would be meaningful to them, even maybe even different verses, God, that they would hold on to and walk in faith. I pray that you would bless them. These 15 women, God, bless these women. Mm-hmm. I thank you, God, that you have sealed your spirit in them, that you have good for them. I pray that you would just increase our faith, help us in our unbelief, that we would walk more wholeheartedly toward you. And I just lift this up to you in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.